Now we ask, O Lord, open unto us your good treasure. Let there be free passage from heaven to earth in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. It's my friend here, H. Baker. If you are inside or outside, show yourself. H. Is he outside? He's not. All right. So, put me on strings. And let's do Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Maybe somewhere along the line I will find the transmission station of the Holy Ghost this night. But we'll begin from Philippians chapter 2. It's intentional. There may be somewhere along the line, if I pick the frequency, I will move to the station. Okay, my friend is not around. All right. What? No, that's his name. It's the white man that changed. Is Age, but the white man changed it to Age. So we have adopted the white man pronunciation. There is a mighty throne, a mighty office, an office that is in the spirit, is in the heavens. From the day there was an occupant in that office, the way God reaches out to humanity became different. An office that is occupied by personality of stature. Hallelujah. And that's the office I want to introduce us to. Because if we are studying revival, if we are studying revival from the perspective of Acts of the Apostles, looking at the account that began from chapter 2, you will find out that what took place on the day of Pentecost began in heaven. It's not an activity that was initiated on earth. What happened was that some people on earth came into alignment with an activity that was already ongoing in the heavens. And so if we want to talk about the day of Pentecost, if we want to talk about revival and the stages in which that revival went until it became a phenomenon that the devil could not uproot from the earth. Hallelujah. Then we need to begin from what happened in heaven. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 begins by introducing that office, the office of the Christ, the practical administration of grace through the office of the Christos in the heavens above. Now, it's needful to recall that the center of the kingdom of God is the administration of God. And the center of the administration of God is the throne of God. Now, so if you are going to be interfacing with the kingdom of God, you will be interfacing with the throne of God. And what happened to us the day we gave our life to Christ is that God decided to establish his command tower in our hearts, where that throne can find a place and where he can begin to bring our life out of lawlessness into order. Now, there are several dealings that he will subject us to, because the intention of God is that everything must come under the dominion and the authority of the Christ. Now, in the heavens, it is impossible for you to be in the spirit realm without, whether divine or demonic, without a comprehensive knowledge of this one who is so high in the heavens, the occupant of the office of the Christ. But as highly exalted as he is in the spirit, as known as he is in the spirit, is not so known upon the face of the earth because of a particular matter. Philippians chapter 2. If there be any consolation in Christ, there be any consolation in Christ. Now, what we are looking at here is the experiences that God releases us to, which is sponsored by the office of the Christ. Have you ever, by any means, experienced something that broke your heart? Have you been sorrowful before? Maybe you lost a loved one or something happened and you were sorrowful. Give me some volume on the microphone. You were sorrowful in some form. And then probably when you went to the place of prayer, consolation came. Not because somebody visited you and spoke good words, but right inside there, some ventilation began to precipitate. He said, if by any means you have received consolation, from where? In Christ. Now, if you have had that experience, it means you have become indebted to the office that is domiciled in the heavens, because it was sponsored by that office. That consolation that you experienced was sponsored by that office. That consolation is evidence to the fact that that office is functional in your heart domain. And from that point, the yoke of sorrow can be broken just because you are connected to an office. Next, have you ever experienced any comfort of love? Maybe you experienced rejection by your family, but when you ran into the arms of God, you knew that you were not lost. You knew that you were not a wanderer, that you were not a stranger. That even though men might cast you away, the bond of love that you found in God was sufficient to keep you going. The Bible is saying, have you by any means experienced the comfort of love? The experience of the comfort of love is a product of the office of which I speak. Now, the recipe for human life is actually captured in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, from verse 31. Hallelujah. Now, I need to jump to that place before I come back here. That's the recipe for human life. God is going to solve all of man's problem one way and one way only. Let's jump to 1 Corinthians. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians 1, no, verse 30, I guess. Go back. Aha. The Bible says, of him and ye in Christ Jesus. Of him and ye. You are of God and you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus. Now, what this scripture is trying to reveal to us is that by an act of God's will, by an act of God's authority, God decided to include you in Christ Jesus. Yesterday we spoke about the inclusion. We spoke about the incarnation. You were separate from him. The inclusion, you became part of him. The intensification, he begins to bring layers of his intensity so that it can match the circumstances and situations that are formed around you. So that you will not be controlled by the circumstances, but you will be controlled by the Holy Spirit and you manage the circumstances, whatsoever they may be. It's on the strength of the revelation of the intensification that we understand that with Christ in us, mortality is a light thing to bear. The inclusion. I say, of God are ye in Christ Jesus. So by an act of God's authority, he included you in Christ Jesus, so that as he is dealing with Christ, he's dealing with you. Only an immortal can have that capacity for you to be included in him. Are you with me? Because Satan doesn't have that capacity. His followers are not included in him. I said yesterday that when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, he was not going to heaven. He was going to the cross. It was on the cross that God, by an act of his authority, included us in him. And that's why when you give your life to Christ, your life is backdated to the cross. That's where you begin. You begin by from your inclusion. So there were several things that God dealt with in Jesus Christ. Huh? As he was dealing with those things, the moment you believe unto him, you are drafted into that dealing. Uh-huh. So when God deals with Jesus Christ, he's dealing with you. It's just like carrying a pen and putting it in a Bible. Then you travel with the Bible to Kano. The pen will be where? In Kano. Because the pen was included in the Bible before the trip was made. So God decided to place you inside of Christ by an act of his authority. So that when he's dealing with Christ, he's dealing with you. So there are two levels of substitution in the New Testament. The first level is substitution on the cross, which is for our deliverance. Hallelujah. You are not with me. It's a long journey, but you are not getting me now. So we're substituted on the cross. We're part of him on the cross. You see, the sentence that came upon us in the account of the original sin was death. Huh? You cannot die and still be alive, but he is an immortal. The life he has is superior to death. Even if you subject death to that life, it will still overcome death. So he decided to take the sentence of death because he was an immortal. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Death does not have authority over him. So he submitting to death was so that the exchange, the deliverance, the substitution can take place. And so when you are included in him, the sentence of death that he bore applies to you. You get that? So substitution in the first context is on the cross for our deliverance. Then substitution in the second context. Are you with me? Stay with me. Substitution in the second context is within. Somebody says substitution within. That's what Paul tried to teach when he said it's no longer I that liveth. That's substitution. But what? Christ. You see, because the principle and the wisdom that God adopted to secure our redemption was on the basis of substitution. The way we are going to enter into the higher lives of Christ that is available to us is going to be by substitution. And so Paul wanted us to be clear on one matter. And the matter was that since he died for us, took our place, you no longer have a right to live your own life. The only right you have is to live the life he left to come and take your own destiny in judgment. Substitution. So the pathway to gaining layers, greater layers of grace and strength is substitution. You are going to exchange your weakness for what? His strength. You are going to exchange your ignorance for his wisdom. It follows the path of substitution. And so in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 30, he tells us how God intends to solve all of man's problem. If you have not yet found this, you are running the rat race. Unfortunately, if you have not found this, you have not found the path of spiritual progress. You are still running the rat race. And any kind of rat race that you are running that is dissociated from this portal, this protocol, is a race of futility, because you will not be able to come into the things that Jesus has paid for and has prayed for. By reason of the policy of substitution that was the wisdom adopted to secure our redemption, this is the way by which we can have access to the best of God. The Bible says, but of him, of God, are we in Christ. It's by the will of God that we were brought into Christ by an act of his authority. It's by the will of God. It's intentional. If we did not just stumble there, maybe it was a mistake. No, he said it was of him. It was a deliberate intention to bring us into Christ by an act of the Father's will. Why were we brought into him? We're brought into Christ because the only way we can gain entrance into everything that God has for us is in Christ Jesus. The way the Father is going to reach you. You cannot reach the Father directly, but you reach him through Christ Jesus. The Father cannot reach you directly. He will have to reach you through Christ Jesus. It is the Father's intention to make it that way, so that we will be subject to Christ. Because what God is doing in the whole of time, according to the book of Ephesians 1 verse 10, is that he's bringing everything under the government and the supremacy of Christ Jesus. So he had to establish a system, a protocol, that if we are going to draw life, we'll be drawing life from him through Christ. By so doing, we are subject to his authority. He did that deliberately because he wants to bring everything under the authority of what? Christ. Christ is an office. The Christ is an office, an administrative office that is set up in the kingdom of God to regulate all things that pertain to the issues of the will of God and the purpose of God as he intends to accomplish this in any sphere whatsoever. So we are going to have to reach God through the office of the Christ. This office is a magnificent office. It's the highest office that there is in the universe. Are you still with me? So the Bible says, of him are ye in Christ. Whom? Who of God is made unto us? Now, God decided that everything that pertains to our need will be sourced in Christ. God made him wisdom. Do you have need for wisdom? Wisdom is not a function of strong will or mental exertion. The Bible says God has made this Christ unto us wisdom. God has made this Christ unto us righteousness. God, and I hope you know, righteousness is a legal register. It means discharge and acquitted. Now, there are courts of heaven that you cannot access except you have been declared righteous. So it is of this Christ that we have the clearance to become participants in kingdom activity. It's of this Christ that we have received redemption that has sought the authority of the devil over our lives and given us a new pedestal in our navigation with God. Hallelujah. And you would think that the list ended there. His wisdom. His what? Righteousness. His what? Sanctification. His what? Redemption. So you would think the list ended there. Until you go back to the book of Psalms, you begin to hear things like, the Lord is my shepherd. That same Lord is my shepherd. The only basis of getting experiences in God is focusing on that office, the Christ. Have you ever had this experience before? You were praying in tongues, and then a scripture was laid on your spirit. Let's indicate, because if you have never had that experience, you are spiritually ill. It's a sign of spiritual disease. It means you are not in alignment with the Christ. What I'm talking about, you don't need to go to Harvard to be intelligent enough to be able to perceive what I'm saying. If you are in alignment with Christ, if you look to his office, if you look to his ministry for your supply, that means you are in alignment. That means you know what you are doing. Wisdom will come out of that office, and it will precipitate on your heart, because it's the Holy Spirit that operates his office in your heart. And through the Holy Ghost, right there in your heart, the wisdom is going to come. For instance, you don't have the capacity to engage a spiritual issue. If something is orchestrated from the Spirit, you have no capacity whatsoever, irrespective of your learning, irrespective of your education, to engage a spiritual matter. Except the Christ, operating through wisdom, gives you direction. When you begin to implement that direction, you'll be able to engage something that is spiritual. The power of the devil is his ability to keep secret the things he's trying to administer. Like you see one headache, there is a mystery that he has put in place, a hidden thing to bring that affliction. The moment that thing that is hidden is unveiled, then the power of the devil has been destroyed. And so that's why Christ can be to you wisdom. Christ can be to you sanctification. Christ can be to you righteousness. He can be a shepherd. Have you heard the psalmist? He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When he saw that the Lord had this function in his life, he began to become angry with every time he was afraid. When you have light, you have nothing to fear. Now, so Paul used a lot of the New Testament scripture to reveal how magnificent the office of this personality is. Where we read in the book of Philippians chapter 2, which is where I want us to go back to now, is the day he was coronated Christ. Now, prior to this time, it was prophetic that he was the one destined to be the Christ. But the implication of him occupying the throne of the Christ was that the claims of divine justice were settled and man was accepted again to be able to inherit glory. And that will require the work of redemption. And so there were seven tests that Jesus had to go through in order for him to qualify, to pass God's test, in order for him to sit in that office. Because that's the same office that Satan coveted that led to his fall from heaven. I will ascend, exalt my throne above the stars of God. He wanted to pitch his throne in Zion, above the stars, the angelic ranks. It was the office of the Christ that he was coveting. And in order for that office to be filled, then the claims of divine justice and starting our redemption as humanity has to be fulfilled. And the way Jesus earned that throne, whereas Satan was aspiring for it like a politician, he lost his own estate that he was given from God. Then Jesus now said, well, he did not consider his participation in the Godhead as anything to cleave onto. He decided to release it so that he could fulfill the need that the Godhead was perceiving, as per bridging the gap between humanity and bringing them into redemption. So the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that sons of men might become sons of God. So he left where he was. And that is how he gained the honor of the highest office in the universe. Meanwhile, Satan left where he was in search of promotion. And that's how he even lost the one that he was given from the beginning. So in the book of Philippians chapter 2, we see the intrigues of the spiritual ceremony of the coronation of Jesus. Because according to the scriptures, it was that coronation that the outcome of that coronation was the day of Pentecost. What I'm trying to preach tonight is the story of revival. The story of revival. Hallelujah. If revival is going to come, it's going to come from the dead heavens. It will be an orchestration released from there. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost? In the spirit, it was the day of coronation, where Jesus' works, the fact that he passed every test, he fulfilled every expectation, and he satisfied every claim that justice had in the balances. The Bible says, wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Where? Of things. And every tongue confess. That was the coronation day. When he was led, like in Nigeria, the highest honor is Grand Commander of the Federal Republic. Hallelujah. But in heaven, the highest honor is the right hand of God. And the right hand of God is not right geographically, as I always say. It's a place of the highest honor that is in the heavens of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So imagine how that Jesus was ushered. According to the book of Psalms 110, verse 1 to 3, you will see how the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. That was the moment he was conferred that honor and led into that office. From the moment he sat on that office, the resultant effect of his being installed in the office was that the Holy Spirit left heaven and nosedived into the earth. But you see, the Holy Ghost came into the earth. I'm talking about the story of revival. What the introduction of the Holy Spirit did to the civilization among men. And if we are going to go out of the current quagmire, we'll need a deluge, an avalanche of the power and presence of the Spirit of God again upon the face of the earth. But you see, something needs to be done to invite him. Even though heaven is ready to release his dimensions, there's something that earth must do to stay in alignment with that which heaven is doing, so that God, by free cause, can release his spirit. Hallelujah. The moment he sat upon that throne, according to, because Psalms 110 verse 1 to 3 gives us hindsight. It's a prophetic utterance that David gave, that gave us insight into the layout of heaven as at the time that Jesus came to occupy the throne of the Christ. He says, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So we can pick from that scripture that Baba has enemies. And based on that promise, God was saying that I undertake. He was speaking to Jesus. Say, I undertake. You don't have any other thing to do. You have fulfilled the judicial part of this particular bargain. So you have made it legal. You have made it right. You have made it righteous for us to intervene upon the face of the earth. You have fulfilled it. So we can use men again. Men have come back to us. So there will be no need for you to do another thing. You now sit down as an administrator. Administer the import and impact of what you have secured legally. Administer it. But it will be my duty to make your enemies your footstool. How was he going to do that? The book of Psalms says, and the Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. That's when the Holy Spirit left heaven. The Holy Spirit left heaven because there was a personality that sat on the throne of the Christ. You get that? The Holy Spirit left heaven because the Holy Spirit was going to be the expression of the Christ upon the face of the earth. That was what Paul was trying to explain when he said, now the Lord is that Spirit. Why did he add a noun there? Because it's the Holy Ghost that will be operating the office of the Christ upon the face of the earth. And that's why when the Holy Spirit came, he did not come with his own mandate. He did not come with his own intention. He came to give expression to all that Christ is. That was the mandate that the Holy Spirit came to perform. It was the mandate of entrenching the kingdom of the Christ upon the face of the earth. Are you still with me? Now, we need to understand that the Christ has enemies on earth. And so the Holy Spirit comes on earth. But it happens to be according to the book of Psalms 110. The Holy Spirit needs the partnership of men to fulfill the counsel of God. And that's why he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. There's a willingness that must come from us. If we are going to partner with the Holy Spirit to translate the intentions of heaven upon the face of the earth. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. There is a window I'm waiting for. I'm enjoying my preaching, not because I'm hearing it. I'm not hearing it. I'm waiting. I'm using it to wait for a window. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the heat is coming. The heat is coming. There are several things that God told me in my sleep. You know, when I went home, I wanted to pray. I slept. Instead of praying in tongues. Sometimes you can be more dangerous sleeping than being awake. Now, that coronation service began to take place. And that is why Paul wanted to enlighten us about the office of the Christ. He said, have you by any means felt the comfort of love? Have you been comforted before? These are experiential matters. If you are not enlightened about the operations of Christ because it's supernatural, you might despise it and you may not give thanks. He said, have you experienced by any means the comfort of love? Have you been there before? I was on campus. Those days on campus, there was no money, there was nothing in the cupboard, but there was joy in my spirit. Have you experienced that before? There was nothing in the natural to be the explanation for this kind of joy that you were experiencing. It was joy unspeakable, full of glory. Have you ever had that peace that passes understanding? There's no physicality, nothing in the bank account. Those are operations. They are operations of the throne of life. Supplying grace into your vessel. And when the grace becomes so strong, just like I said, with Christ in us, on maximum intensity, mortality is a light thing to bear. You can pass through hunger and still be okay. You can pass through stress and still be okay. The only reason, meanwhile, there are people that don't have Christ pass through the same thing and they had hypertension. I know a woman. She only had a son. Had three daughters and one son. My elder brother knows who I'm talking about. And then the son became a cultist on campus. Then one day he now cried, my head, and he died. That was the day the woman died too. Because it was after the news came of her son's death. It started from headache, started to hypertension. And then he now became paralysis. And then he now became deaf. You know why it was the progression? They expected what Satan wanted to achieve. The symptoms of it were manifesting, but nothing could stop it. But because there was no office to provide the shock absorbers so that she could go through the circumstance. There are women here that have gone through stuff. Widows. But the devil thought that with that loss, they will die. It's only when you are not focusing on the immortal. When you focus well and you are in alignment, you will not know why you are happy. Because everything around you suggests otherwise. But beyond what you see, there is an operation of the Spirit through that office of the Christ that keeps you afloat above water. And you don't need to understand it. And Paul says, just in case you have had this experience, the truth is, you have become indebted to Christ. It's very easy for you to despise that and say, well, I don't know, but me, I know how to survive things. I know how to. I escape. I they survive. If they come, me, man, they go. It has nothing to do with your human ability. It has everything to do with that immortal office. And just like I said, the center of what the kingdom of God is the government of God. And the center of the government of God is the throne of God. That throne is where the Christ is domiciled. In fact, according to the fact that we were supernaturally, by an act of God's authority, brought into Christ, we actually share that throne at joint heads with Him. That's what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I don't want to go there. It says we are seated with Christ so that we can share His authority, share His bounty, share His goodness. That's where everything comes from. It's not because you are too smart, but because there is a throne assigned in the heavens to make sure that by successive supplies of the Spirit of grace, you will be able to live above the pressures that are triggered from the external realm, and you will dominate just like He dominated on the cross. You get that? Now, so there was an activity in heaven. It was His coronation that gave rise to the release of the Spirit of God that came upon the face of the earth. In fact, the release of the Spirit of God that came upon the face of the earth on the day of Pentecost was an indication that He has been coronated. And that was what Peter was trying to say on the day of Pentecost. He said, this same Christ that you crucify right now in the heavens, God has made Him both Lord and Christ. And that was His explanation for the day of Pentecost. Prior to this time, that personality called the Holy Spirit was a person of heaven. He was known in heaven. He functioned in heaven. In fact, I don't want to press further. But if we press, you'll come to realize by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures that I have available here, I can show you that it is that Holy Spirit, the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit cannot be felt on earth. Paul spoke about the powers of the age to come. That there is a particular age that is yet coming, where we will experience powers. He's talking about the full expression of the Holy Spirit's power. In fact, the Holy Ghost power is the operating system that runs the atmosphere and the environment of heaven. No time for that. No time. He operates everything in heaven. Just in case in heaven you want to transport from one place to the other, and maybe there's an invitation, come up here. In heaven, you don't use your legs. The moment it is checked in the database that the command, the instruction to come was given, and you want to go, the Bible says instantly you'll be in the spirit. That's what we call the transport mode of heaven. Men like Elijah and Philip, they manifested that transport mode on the face of the earth. And I believe that as we go closer to the end of the age, we'll not need to look for a Kennedy Lichuku every time. You will not need to go to the park every time. That transport mode. Because in heaven there is transport. It takes the power of the age to come. And the Bible says we can taste of it. That means even though the best of it will be in the age to come, it is available to be explored now. That's a door I don't want to enter. Hallelujah. He's the one that powers that civilization. When you hear of heaven, everything in that civilization is held by his great power. Have you heard of the river that is as clear as crystal? Those are expressions of his reality. Have you heard of... No, we don't have time. There are 17 features in the context of that reality. And each one of them are expressions of Christ through the Holy Ghost. 17 features in that civilization. It is in that realm and that age that the fullness of his power, the fullness of his glory is on display. However, we are given license to be able to taste of it. If you need it badly, you will start enjoying it now. You know, it takes some aggressive praying for you to break into some from realms. It's available to every believer, but you don't need it. If you have been able to walk without power, it means you don't need it, so it's not available. But when you become desperate and begin to press, as if your life depends upon it, they will sign your own application for you. Say, yes, this thing is available. This thing day. And they will usher you into those dimensions. The power is for the age to come, but we have license to taste of it. From the day the Holy Ghost descended from the heavens and he came down, there has been a forceful advancement. A forceful advancement of the knowledge of God, of the kingdom of God upon the face of the earth. Every time there is a revival, there is a hybrid educational system, culture begins to shift. Many things begin to change. Now I want us to do a Bible study and find out what changed when the Holy Ghost came. What changed? I found a few things that came. What changed? And if the Holy Ghost doesn't come into your family will not change. But, you know, Reverend hit it on the head. He said the bridge between where we are and our deliverance is revival. That was the message I got. That's where I'm continuing from. Revival. A civilization that comes from heaven through a spirit. And men are induced, are injected with the philosophy of that spirit. Men are educated by that spirit. Men are brought into depths of the workings of that spirit. So much so that culture begins to shift. Civilization begins to change. Everything begins to adjust to accommodate the pathways of that spirit. I tell you, it is God's will that our generation will receive and manage an avalanche of God. Alright, so it began from the throne room. And in the throne room, what happened was ordination. The Christ was coronated and ordained. So it began from there. So let us check the upper room. Because from the throne room, the thing now came where? To the upper room. It's the same thing, but when it came to the upper room, the circumstances and situations were different. The variables and constants were different. The circumstances was different from what was obtainable in heaven, but something was introduced. When the heavenly factor was introduced, there's a way it began to react among men. And our calling is to manage that reaction. Manage it. That's our calling. There's a partnership between men and heaven in the day of the release of the Holy Ghost. Because God, the Father, has made a vow to the Son, sit thou at my right hand. I will make thine enemies. What? Thine footstool. Alright. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let us start. At least let's start. Revival. Acts chapter 2. So it was at this point that earth began to receive it. Most of the things that took place in heaven. And now, earth has come into alignment. It's not as if the reaction started when earth joined. Are you with me? Now, you can be praying. Oh my, you are not here. It is not as if what began on earth. It began in heaven. Alright? And it was not when it began in heaven that earth was aware of it. The earth came into it at the point of coronation. Then, a witness from heaven had to go into the earth to make the earth align with what was happening. But you see, it was not supposed to be a temporary alignment. That is how God will deal with man from henceforth. This Christ will become our wisdom. He will become our sanctification. He will become what? Our righteousness. He will become what? Our redemption. He will become our shepherd. He will become our light. He will become our salvation. The more you keep pressing, the more you begin to have discoveries. And if there is no man upon the face of the earth that can say like Peter, thou art the Christ, it means the church is no longer present. The day these revelations about this Christ end, it means the church is no longer on earth. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. You know, they have been like this for like 10 days. In prayer. Prayer. In prayer. In prayer. You know, and this is what the church doesn't like again. This one, this aspect. You remain in one accord. In prayer. And every time we make plans, me and him, to go on the mountain and begin to pray, that's when they must call me from the office. Move. We'll start the first day, put in 8 hours. Before we start the second day, go. We'll do it again. They interrupted this one. We'll do another one. Because that's what we do. It's not that easy. It's not easy, but that's our job description. You know, have you ever seen a NEPA man? NEPA job is not a good job. But that's the only way we can. They were all in one accord, in expectation. Because the great prophet had told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem. When this spirit comes, he will hover through the earth. But it is Jerusalem is coming. I had discussion with him. He said, where do you want to drop? Is it Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Abuja? He said, no. It's where? Jerusalem. So tarry in Jerusalem. I know you like tarrying, going to the mountain, but this time, Jerusalem. That's the location. So they went there and they were in one accord. They were tarrying. They were praying. And then suddenly, the coronation took place. So you will know that Peter was preaching by the spirit of revelation. He had been given insight into what happened in heaven for him to make the kind of address he made on the day of Pentecost. When the coronation took place, the Holy Spirit was released and the Holy Spirit came into their midst. Now, let us, what did he do? What did he bring? What happened? Because many people say, okay, if you go into the presence of God and you seek God for 3 days, you seek God for 4 days. When God comes, how will you know? Let's check. I need to tell you a little thing about the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between something that is spiritual and something that is spectacular. Many times when we expect God's arrival, we expect something spectacular. But something that is spectacular is not necessarily spiritual. And something that is spiritual is not necessarily spectacular. Just like Paul's encounter, he saw a light. So many of you are expecting to see one light. And you know that God
No.
That's spectacular. Spectacular encounters may take place just once in your lifetime. Once, twice in your lifetime. That's not God's mode of oppression. It's not his standard mode of oppression. God doesn't, in fact, and the more you know God, the more natural encounters will become. The more natural. They will not be loud again. It's initially when your senses are so bogus, he will have to come in a loud way so that you'll be convinced. But when you start gaining acquaintance with him, you can be in Molowe, in Lagos, moving in Molowe, and suddenly the Holy Ghost will come. You will know. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of the Lord descended. The first thing we noticed, which is very obvious, is that the intensity with which they prayed started changing. So have you ever had a situation where you were just praying in tongues and then suddenly the intensity began to change? Now when that intensity begins to change, it means that there is an outpouring. Your vessel is receiving attention. It means that from that point henceforth, the prayers you are going to be praying, you need to prosecute those prayers with aid. You need help. So your utterance begins to change. The utterance begins to change. And you know, they prayed in tongues long enough for Peter to be able to pick the revelation. Are you with me? Of what happened that the Holy Ghost came. So when you stay in the place of prayer in tongues for long, there is a point that your understanding will become fruitful. Every prayer transaction should leave your understanding fruitful. The tongues you are speaking, at some point the Holy Spirit will bring interpretation to that tongue, and it may result in direction, it may result in wisdom, it may result in, you know what I'm talking about, in a strategy. But your understanding must be left fruitful before your prayer session is fully prosecuted. In prayer, you must come into the mind of God. Every attempt at prayer is an invitation for you to come into the mind of God. If you have fully prosecuted the call to prayer, you must have left the presence of God knowing clearly what the mind of God was. Are you with me? You are not with me. Because one of the evidences that the Holy Spirit has visited you is that it gives you a clear perspective of the mind of God. You don't need to fall down to get a clear perspective of the mind of God. There are many things that are confusing. When you apply your mind to it, your mind cannot handle it because that particular function is not meant for your mind. Your mind will be totally scrambled when you engage your mind to attend to such matters. Are you with me? Have you ever been faced with the embarrassment of house rent? Okay, you have always had money. And then you try to think about it. It's not a function for the mind. The mind will become sick weakly. Infirmities. In fact, demons will begin to minister to you at that point. Because it's not an issue for the mind. You need direction. That's what you need. And every engagement of prayer should get you to that point where you step into the mind of God. It is when you have engaged the mind of God that clarity now comes to you. The thing that Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he didn't learn it anywhere. He got it at the spur of the moment. That this Jesus that you crucified, right now in heaven, he has been exalted. God has made him. The understanding came as he spoke in tongues, I don't know how long they spoke. Then the clarity just dawned on him. The eyes of his understanding were open. Enlightened. He knew exactly what had happened. He had received utterance from God. And he could lay hold on the mic and say, "Men of Israel." He spoke the counsel of God. He got that insight right there in the place of prayer. The proof that you are experiencing personal revival is that you have direction and clarity from the Holy Spirit. Every time you come into God's presence, like a service like this, you must go home with direction and what? and clarity. That is a proof that you met God. So the first thing that God begins to do in the lives of men is that he begins to give them direction and he begins to give them clarity. There is nothing as complex as a call. A call is more complex than trigonometry. You will be fulfilling a call. You'll be fulfilling a call. Fulfilling it, you now get to a point and then you are confused. Then you have to go back and get what? Direction and clarity. That is a function that the Holy Spirit brings. The strong will cannot take you there. And then when you have secured direction, you begin to see the possibilities. Faith is triggered into your vessel. You can see the possibilities again. And then what God is expecting becomes clear to you. And then he goes with you to fulfill it. The more you try to obey, the more grace will begin to come. The more you pray for the sick, the more anointing you will have. And I saw people, nameless people, they did not attend Bible school. They did not attend any form of, most of them didn't have formal education. And then they began to obey the Holy Ghost. Through the enlightening work of the Spirit of God, his influence over their life began to grow. You see, if you don't obey God regularly, he will not be powerful in your life. The last time you heard God clearly was the last time you obeyed him. When you start obeying him regularly, he starts becoming powerful. You see what I'm saying? I'm seeing three people already. These three people, they started receiving clarity from the Holy Spirit, and they began to walk with the Holy Spirit, and the blessings of the Holy Ghost was coming upon them, and then they veered off. From what I'm seeing, they wanted to behave like other people. And as they started behaving like other people, they began to lose touch with the Holy Ghost until they became dislocated. They are here, three of them. It's very easy to walk with the Holy Spirit. Very easy. The watch word is obedience. Obedience. Once you get clarity, stay in the place of prayer until you get clarity. On Facebook, a pastor sent me a text. I said, what's the problem? He said, I left the ministry I was in because I knew I had a call. Okay? Then I started a walk and nobody's coming. You were too fast. You don't move until there's clarity. Yes, you receive the call, no problem. Remain there and get clarity. That is a sign that the Holy Spirit had come from you to commission you. He will give you clarity. Now you don't have clarity. You left where you were, and then who sent you to do what you are doing there? And you are expecting God's support. Thank God you have not died. Because you should be dead now. But give God glory that you are still alive. So now that you have your life to yourself, go back and find out. The proof is that you have enabled prayer capacity to pray into the realm sufficiently to get a feedback. And when the feedback comes, the eyes of your understanding, they are what? Enlightened. And then you are given the blessing of clarity. The prophet of wisdom is in his ability to direct. That's how we profit from wisdom. You see believers in the body of Christ without direction. The man did not tarry long. You are in a hurry to act because your flesh is eager to do something. That is the easiest way to be snared by the devil. Because now the father has given a vow to the son. And on the strength of that vow, we will have to partner with the Holy Spirit to realize his promise. All that is left is partnership with the Holy Ghost. Are you still with me? Partnership. I remember how long I tarried. It was like for 3 years. 3 years, then I got clarity about my call. I knew it was in Bedway State. I knew it was in Makoti. The only thing that I did not get from that encounter was the time. I pressed for time. I pressed for the time. I pressed for the time. And he refused to speak. I said, okay, no problem. I had got other things that I should not go into full-time ministry. That I should wait for him. He will give me a job. Clarity. That was a proof that was I had personal revival. And only people that have come into personal revival, that have sustained personal revival for more than 10 years, can be used as tools through whose voice God can trigger territorial revival. It's going to start personally before it goes to territorial. But the personal man that is going to be used in a very high level in the revival seasons are people that have maintained that revival, personal revival, for at least more than 10 years. That's where you will suffer. You will suffer and then know that the only escape route is the Holy Ghost. The time you obeyed Him, you prosper. The time you dislocate, you will know it experientially. Nobody will need to come and teach you Bible study and say, stay with the Holy Ghost. Because experientially, you have found out that when you move out of alignment, darkness befalls you. That's why I told that pastor, you are lucky you are still alive. It means the Satan had all that pressing matters. So your case was not so significant. So use this time that Satan gave you to go back and seek. We have reached places in God where we know that if we miss it for one day, Satan will cut us off. We know. Personally, I know that my security is in my following the Holy Ghost. And listen to me, I will never act until God will speak. We have done some things and Satan has penned our names now. That is not news. We were doing deliverance the other day. The lady began to speak. We rushed her to stop speaking. But before I could get, she has spoken small. Say, your name has gone to what? Gone far. I say, okay, that's publicity. But you, spirit, come out. But I heard that one. The name has gone where? I'm aware of that. So the security is to walk with the Holy Ghost. Now, can you give me Acts chapter 5, verse 32? From clarity, He gave them the capacity to obey Him. And as they obeyed Him, His influence began to spread upon the earth. Some of us, you were moving strong with God and then you decided to deviate. It's not hard to walk with the Holy Ghost. Just don't have another agenda. The fact that God is helping Pastor Gideon, don't compare yourself with Him. You don't know the covenant He has with God. You don't know which wilderness He went to get what He has. God is helping Pastor. You saw the way He was operating yesterday. He said it's when the time of war comes that people like Him become popular. Don't go and say the same thing somewhere else. You might. So among us, we know our areas of specialization. So if it requires this side, we'll call the person that has the gift. We are not competing. We are complementing each other. Don't claim to be able to do what Pastor Ike does because you are anointed. No. If we want to do such a thing, we will call him. Or your leaders. Because you have a covenant with God that installs you in that matter. We don't know where you went to get it. But we can use it. We can experience it. We can be blessed by it without becoming it. So go ahead. Be who you are. We'll follow. We need to learn how to submit ourselves one unto another. That's body life. In the fear of God. Hallelujah. My question is this. Do you have clarity from the Holy Ghost? If you don't have, you are not living under the atmosphere of personal revival. You are doing Holy Ghost, but there is no personal revival. Because if there's personal revival, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. And you will know clearly what God wants. When you start obeying that which God wants, then God will begin to bring His influence through you into the earth. That's how it happens. It will be pouring out of your vessel and you'll be seeing God's influence through your vessel. As long as you keep obeying Him, He keeps pouring out. He keeps pouring out. And the Bible says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so shall a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. The easiest way that God influences men is that He sets a man on fire. And as that man begins to burn, other people desire to be like him. And they begin to pay their own price and make their own sacrifices. And then they are brought into the brightness of the light that He has come to shed. The game changed when the Holy Ghost came down. Clarity. How many of you have it? Specific clarity. Hallelujah. And you know, the tender message of the Lord on my life was that when I pick it in the closet and I come out, my friends will confirm it. Sometimes when I'm in doubt, they will confirm it. And I know, okay, it was God that spoke. You will differentiate between the spiritual and the spectacle. Sometimes the spiritual is, the volume is low. Very low. And then somebody comes and confirms it. And then you are sure. Then you begin to march out. Like we have been planning for crusades from this year. And when you came, you said, go and show yourself to me. Hey. Cool. We have been in the cave. That cave where? Huh? We have been there. Say, go and show yourself. So God will send prophets your way to confirm your weak convictions so that you will know it is a counsel of God. And the moment you take a step in obedience, God's influence will descend as a sign that He's the one that sent you. This is the year to walk with the Holy Ghost, the year to obey the Spirit of God. It was on that altar. Are you with me?
Oh.
The first blessing is clarity. We can't go into the second one. We'll stop here for today. Because there are people that God needs to rescue tonight. People that were walking with God, steadily walking with God, and then they veered off. And today, it doesn't look as if there was any time that you knew God. The devil has used you as a sample. Because when you are walking with God, you tormented Him so much, and then you now forgot your security, and you veered off. And He took notice that you no longer have shelter. Where is the Acts? I said, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. He said, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that what? Obey. This dimension of the giving of the Holy Ghost is different from Holy Ghost baptism. This is not Holy Ghost baptism. These are dimensions of, tangible dimensions of spirit investment that come on the lives of people that what? Have decided to walk in perpetual obedience to the Holy Ghost. When a believer is stagnated, we need to ask a question. When was the last time you obeyed an instruction? Because it is not possible. There's nothing on earth, nothing from darkness, nothing from hell that can hold a man that is being propelled and powered by the Holy Ghost. So, and your case cannot be different. People quote disobedience with spiritual language that, see, I've been Kai. We are witnesses of these things. And so what? It's the Holy Ghost that God has given unto them that obey. I remember those days on campus, my prayer time in the night was 9 o'clock. I would pray from 9 o'clock to 12 midnight before I start reading. And then my morning prayer time was 5 a.m. My roommates that were born again, sometimes they will call me and say, is it that you commit so much sin that you pray like this? What sin are you atoning for? Is it a woman? Did you kill? And you are trying to make penance. You know what? That my friend now is a pastor too. I visited his church and he said, he told his wife, while we were sleeping, this young man will be praying. If only I had followed him. Because he would call me every now and then and say, the number is increasing. But the offering they just gathered in Abuja now is 7,000. The number is increasing. But what's the offering? 7,000. In Abuja. May the Lord give us understanding. I see the church on Facebook. Everybody's lifting their hand up. But he called me and said, don't be moved by what you saw. The offering is what? May you settle your future in prayer before the future comes. Don't sleep away your life. Get what? Everybody that stood up like a tornado to go and engage ministry. There was a challenge. But the ones that stayed in obedience, they will hear the voice. There's always a story of victory to tell. You know, these days, everybody wants to be a pioneer. President, founder, general overseer, and all of that. And if God has not ordained that for you, you have entered into problem. Even your children too are part of the problem. There will be suffering because you are out of alignment. The Holy Ghost has no plan B for you. He has only one plan. And you need to get clarity. The first blessing that comes when there's an outpouring is what? Second blessing is the grace for obedience. We are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Ghost, who God has given unto them that obey. There are two things that will come on you today. The first thing is that God will give you grace to obey. There are several people that are struggling to obey some instructions. You know, some instructions you need grace, power to be able to obey them. I was in a relationship before, not my wife, before I met my wife, many years. A lady, hallelujah, very zealous. My combat, I preached to her, she gave her life to Christ. God baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh my God. Zeal! I said, right there. And you know what? A man, it doesn't matter whether you make a mistake, no problem. But if you stay in the place of prayer, there will be clarity. It was prayer. We were praying at home in the village, and the voice came. That lady is not your wife. I bound her voice. But you know. Because the thing has entered deep. But you know what? He will not leave me. The Holy Ghost won't leave me. He won't leave me. He won't leave me until I surrender. Then I now had peace. How are we go and tell the lady that? When I saw the lady, I went back to the Holy Ghost. I said, let's talk. Sometimes you need an outpouring to obey God. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about. So also is the Holy Ghost that is given unto them that what? Obey. You might be a very, very quiet person, and the Lord is saying your own lot and portion is evangelism. You will have to meet with everybody in your city. And then you are struggling. You are struggling. And he won't let you. Then you're not asking for grace. Then he wants to become functionally figured and factored around your life. So that you know that everything that you have become, you became because of his support. And then you go out and preach to the first person. As you are preaching, the person is crying, breaks down and begins to cry. And then you begin to get used to it. So this is what you had in mind. Oh my God. Then I went for a meeting, and that day God showed mercy. I was full of the Holy Ghost that I could not speak. So I just did like this. As I went back like that, the whole people, everybody, power. And I say, so you had this in mind. The power was much. Jesus. I didn't know that God wanted to use me like that. But it was all obedience. I saw things, mighty things that I did not know. That's the second thing. There's grace to perform the counsel of God. First of all, there's clarity. And then there's grace to perform the counsel of God. We'll continue the story tomorrow. My question is this. What instruction did God give you that you refuse to obey? Amen. Personal revival. If you are somebody that is careful to observe the state of your personal revival, the day you lose your peace is a big thing. Yes. Huh? It's a what? It's a big thing. If you start living by the Spirit and there's any indication that the Spirit is grieved, you too, you will go into hiding. You will find what is wrong with your friend. You will find out. But if this is not your case, you are not on the path of spiritual progress. You are playing church. You are part of the rat race. Tonight, we have come to cut covenant with God. Now, just in case you are here, listen. Sometimes people come into God's presence looking for miracles. Eh? God gives miracles. But graduate beyond that level. Look for God. But if you came for a miracle, no problem. But don't let your search not end with miracles. I was very sickly when I began to pursue God. I didn't even know when God healed me. I didn't know. So I saw that God had more than healing to give. And I never knew that one day God will use my hands to heal this. We are going to pray a desperate prayer for 5 minutes. The kind of prayer that they prayed on the day of Pentecost. That when the Holy Ghost hovered through the whole earth, there was no suitable place for him to land. And he landed in an upper room because people were expecting. Tonight, he's hovering. The revival must begin with you and with me on a personal level. These are two factors, two symptoms that find expression when you are in personal revival. Can you begin to pray? And ask him for a visitation. Some of us are in need of clarity. You know there's a call, but it's not clear. You are going to desperately besiege heaven. Desperately. Now, clarity. If the Spirit of God is involved, then wisdom will be the result. Direction will be the result. Understanding will be the result. Clarity. Anytime there is stagnation, it's an indication that alignment has been, you have defaulted in alignment. It's a sign that you are not in alignment. Some people seek for personal things, they are preoccupied with personal things and they forget destiny. Make your priorities right tonight. We call your name. Sedoba Kamra Santa Babolia Habanate. We call your name. I have all that is obligated. We call your name. Jesus, come to me. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, come to me. Son of David, Jesus, I need you.
Spirit of God is involved, there is clarity. There is direction. Things begin to open. Things begin to open. Aha. So bella tanda taba bole bala. Rasketo pregete la subria taba bonga bahala kale. Zendros kapara taba sal. In Jesus' name. Now listen. Listen. There's one person here. Now listen, this is heavy. There's one person here, inside or outside. Can you open that door so that I can be seen outside? There's one person here. I don't know whether you're inside or outside. But you are female. A male too can be implicated by this word. But the person I saw is female. It can also apply to the male person. Now, this person, from what I see, is a prophet. It's a prophet. God has called you to be a prophet. God has called you to be a prophet. Maybe you don't even know. You have been dislocated. Where I'm seeing you now is far away from where God expected you to be. Now, listen. The Holy Spirit will touch you. Will touch you. The touching you are going to experience, the touching you are going to experience is to bring you into alignment. Holy Spirit, help me find the person. Help me find the person. Help me find the person. Help me find. Let the fire increase. Let it 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 increase, Lord. Let it increase. Help ushers. Help me bring them. Help me bring them. You are disaligned. And the Lord is instructing that we restore you. That will restore you quickly. You need to be restored quickly. You need to be restored quickly. You need to be restored. Help me bring that sister. Bring the other one. Now there's somebody again. The fire is coming on that person. I'm seeing it. It's coming. It's coming stronger. 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 It's coming. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. You are in this category. Help me bring them. It is a risk to be disaligned. God has made a promise to his son. He is committed to it. And that promise is part of the mandate that the Holy Spirit has on earth to partner with men that will not have an agenda, because there is already an agenda. Elemos Sevria Kamos. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, let there be fire to bring her back into alignment. Anything that is responsible for her departure from alignment, let it be burnt off. 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 Ilakonde pregete la samina tua na barato zila habaratia. Ilatoma andesa kopri na hate. All of you out here were called to, first of all, begin to practice intercession. But there were so many things that distracted you, brought you out, and then you became exposed to the devil. And because of the curse that was in your family, you became haunted. And terrible things began to find expression in your life. And God is waiting for you to make a decision. A decision that you will serve His will as your only agenda in life. That is the only escape route you are going to have from the things that are chasing you. It's left for you to decide to surrender or not. Eleto mina santo mina planta baboli bakadia. Maya kopene sa ukes kendo okoria zina ante asakanama. Mai kopata mayato sita bahano. I'm seeing a tall person. I don't know if you are male or female. A tall person. Now, one of the things that God wants to do, very tall. Jesus. Now, we are going to continue our prayer point. Come.
Eko malatu ala basanto benakabi abraskita.
I believe.
Now, sister, come.
Can we pray? Because God is going to release something into you right now. He wants you to stand for Him. And He's going to, you are going to stand for Him in a difficult place. 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 And so He wants to empower you. Are you ready? You are ready? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for empowerment. 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 Aito malika suta brato sopre katalabura. Aita sobe de hele kaske tablo sabala tuala bahanda. Receive the power to be able to stand for Jesus. No matter what it takes. Receive the grace to be able to stand for Jesus. No matter what it takes. You are empowered. Go back and stand for Him.
Jesus.
Now listen. Now that person praying, make the person stop. Oh my God. We're already out of time. Okay, bring that person for me. I will help the person to stop because there is something I want to do before I sit down. We're out of time. Your initial assignment is intercession. We're supposed to give yourself to prayers day and night. Day and night. And from what I see, you started it. But you were not consistent. You don't need the company of people to be able to have private intercession. God is calling you to a higher work. 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 There are a few things you need to let go. We need to let go of some things. Sometimes we need an anointing to be able to obey God. A heavy one that will overcome our will, make us pliable. Begin to ask God for grace to obey in the areas of His emphasis. Nobody said it's easy. Nobody said it's easy. But there is help in the Holy Ghost. All we need is to agree. And once we agree, He supplies the strength. He doesn't send you on errand at your own expense. He makes grace available. He makes mercy available. Jesus. Listen to me. Now the reason why I can't sit down now is because I see an angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord that I see is sent here to open the ear of somebody. Sister, give yourself to intercession. Your life will move forward if you pray. That's the key to your life. And when you begin to pray consistently, with higher levels of intensity, you will begin to know things supernatural and function in your office and your company. He came to open the ears of somebody. Now, this is what I heard, alright? So the ear that is being opened can be physical deafness that will open or spiritual deafness. Are you with me? Are you here? But by all means, that ear must be opened before I sit down. Tomorrow we continue in the fire conference. Because we need to understand the symptom of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer that is under personal revival. We must labor to keep the personal revival. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Then He begins to lead you into destiny. He begins to give you instruction. It is sweet to walk with the Holy Ghost. It's not hard. You need to be obedient. We have seen strong-willed people that walk with the Holy Ghost. We have seen easygoing people. It's not about your will, your makeup, your wiring. It's a willingness to obey. I want to pray now. He will walk through this crowd and He will open an ear. Father, in the name of Jesus, inside and outside. I don't even know what you want to do, but you said you want to open someone's ear. If it's physical, if it's spiritual, you want to restore hearing to somebody spiritually or physically or both. Right now you have the right of way. Has somebody lost spiritual hearing? Let it be restored. Did anybody lose physical hearing? Let it be restored. Now the fire of God is already coming into the hall and going outside. The people concerned, he will begin to reach out to you right now. He will begin to reach out to you. He will begin to reach out to you. He's already touching one person. I can sense it now. One person is already under his influence. Yes, he's already touched. Father, open that ear. 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 Now help me bring them so that I can find out what ear is it. There are two people outside. There are two people outside. There are two people outside. Father, locate those ones outside. Locate those ones outside. There's one person outside. There's one person outside. Locate that one. Locate that one. Locate that one. Let the ears open. I command the ear. Open. 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 I command the ear. Open. Ah, you see, she has a gift. Maleto sia la kurema. You have been running from the use of this gift. I release grace upon your vessel. Let the ears open. In the name of Jesus. 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 Open. 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 Ella sila mokota malaha preskait. I koparando sele kande bosabi. Open. Mayeto kopina sakula kayeto santo. Mentoreke salabara. Maita kosekatia la kuta benete. Brusa kapatwa. Evaria si kabalatu dahabakama. Open. Ikamahampalia. Aha. Yes, there's an additional blessing. Yes, yes, yes. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. The gate, there is this iron gate that is resisting you, but it's opening. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. Step into your destiny. Step into your destiny. Step into your destiny. Sometimes you need grace to obey God. Can you ask God for grace to obey Him, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation? That oil, that anointing, that impartation that gives us the ability to obey God. Imagine God told a man to go and sacrifice his son. That's not normal obedience. That is grace. That is grace. That is grace. Kamborosi kabalata mena suplia. Eson varasa masarata masait. Entomase braske sabarato mena planta babolia. En kabalata planta subala. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, because of time, we'll continue tomorrow. Signs and wonders night. There are many things I'm seeing that I cannot say now because of time. For those of you out here, the time for the rat race has come to an end. It's time for destiny. Receive grace to obey God. Grace. 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 Let the grace of the Lord descend upon you. You may be seated. Congratulations. Hallelujah.
Oh, come, let us adore.
Tobina, Tobina, Kailama.